like that is a definite parade song. That's one we don't hear very often when you're walking through the floats, but I would like to hear that one more often. It reminds me of that kind of a song. Just kind of everybody's happy, everybody's dancing, everybody's moving and grooving at 7-Eleven here on your Monday morning. We had Fiesta on Friday. It was a good parade. I love to see all the crews out having a good old time. I do have a bit of a story about that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
you have a parade story?
Yeah, so I'm at the very end of the parade. Okay, so Cat Country, ESPN, and News Radio all parade together because we're all owned by the same people. It's a cluster is what we call that. And they're our sister stations. Anyway, we're parading and having a good time. We get down to the end. Right at the very end of the parade, one block before you get to Main Street going south on Palafox, all the walker folks turn and go west, and then the trucks go straight. And then basically, because I was parked over by New World Landing, and so in the lot by the ferries, and so I circle around the block, and I come walking, and I cross over by Bodacious, and I come down, well, not Bodacious, but by the coffee shop, the new one, anyway, and I go south across Main, and then I'm walking, and I look back, and I see the Cat Country truck. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I look again, and I'm like, oh, no, because they were being pushed because the truck had broken down. The truck had broken down right in that last block. Apparently something catastrophic happened. You know who was pushing it? 6 Pensacola Police Department officers. And it was, I had just enough time to catch a picture. I would have had to run after them. They were so fast and I was so far away to go help. And it wouldn't have been any help anyway, because, you know, little old me next to all these guys. And there wasn't much room on the bumper anyway. To his credit, Brent Lane, who had just come around the corner, I saw him as well. He lended a hand. He's much bigger than I am anyway. So I just want to say, you know, people ask me like, well, why do you like, you know, cops so much, Andrew? Because when a truck breaks down in the middle of the parade, you know what the police officers do? They push the truck. They do what needs to be done. And I just thought, you know, that's such a great example of to serve and protect. You know, like, that's why I love our folks. So they were just great. 7:12 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking not at all anymore of parades, except for that it was a big show. Governor DeSantis was in South Carolina over the weekend talking to a group about the parental rights bills that have now been expanded.
Parents have a fundamental right to direct the education and upbringing of their children. The school systems are important, but they're there to support the community. They're not there to supersede the rights of parents and what they think is appropriate. And so we've enacted protections for parents, such as curriculum transparency, so that they have a right to know what books are being used and what curriculum is being taught to their kids. And unfortunately, there's bad stuff that's getting into the schools. There's pornography that's getting into the schools. So the parents have had to blow the whistle in Florida.
Their kids' health care. You're bad.
They've had to. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
I don't think that when you call the governor and possible GOP nominee a effing fascist, that you should be surprised when the crowd boos you. But yeah, pretty robust reaction from the crowd. But then, of course, you know, he continues to respond to this lady. That's a lady.
We're not going to let you impose an agenda on our kids. We're going to stand.
So he says, you know, we're not going to let you impose an agenda on our kids. You're the ones who are trying to harm our children. You call me a fascist, like I'm restricting people's freedom. And that's a conversation that I think, you know, we don't have enough thought about this word freedom, about what it means to expand or contract freedom. And I want to kind of run through some examples with you that maybe my hope is that this would raise your level of thinking about the subject of freedom and also develop maybe a little bit of nuance in the way you think about it. Because what people say is, like, Governor DeSantis says that Florida is a free place, right? The free state of Florida. And what his critics have said is, oh, the free state of Florida, where you're banning abortions and where you're banning, you know, books that feature gay characters and where you're banning transgender students from getting, you know, surgeries done. It seems an awful lot like you're restricting freedom in the free state of Florida, right? That's been the criticism. Okay. And of course, what he means primarily is the free state of Florida through COVID, right? But okay, so let's just take the criticism. Is he reducing freedom by limiting abortion, by limiting books, by all of this stuff? Well, it depends what you mean by freedom or from whose perspective you mean freedom. Right? Because freedom, you know, anytime you impose a law, anytime you impose a restriction, you're going to be simultaneously, at least typically, you're going to be simultaneously restricting one person's freedom and at least hopefully in the interest of expanding someone else's. I'll give you some examples here in a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Watching a really bad accident this morning. This is on Barrancas, eastbound side of the Bayou Chico Bridge, completely backed up eastbound. Emergency crews are on scene right now with that accident. Brought to you by ECUA. And starting July 1st, ECUA customers need to schedule a bulk waste pickup by calling customer service. They've been just doing it willy-nilly. But now July 1st, you're going to have to schedule it again. Find out more, ECUA, Florida, or ecua.fl.gov. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this issue of freedom. Take, for example, like if we lived in a, we had a school, okay, and in that school you had a bullying problem, and you decided to clamp down on bullying by restricting students from bullying other students. Is that an expansion of freedom or a restriction of freedom? Well, you're restricting the freedom to bully, right? So that's a loss of freedom. You're like, well, but is it good to restrict? Well, yeah, we tend to think that that's a good freedom because you're violating somebody else's quality of life or maybe their rights. It's also a restriction on speech, most likely, because bullies like to use speech. So you're limiting speech. Is that a reduction in freedom? Maybe. But it's also an expansion of the freedom from as opposed to the freedom to, like the bully's freedom to bully. The other student's freedom from being bullied, from being harassed, from being imposed upon, right? So you're restricting the bully and you're expanding the victim in terms of freedom. And that's often the case. You know, freedom can be impacted by a new law or a new regulation in both directions, depending on whose perspective you're looking at. Imagine a world where theft was legal, okay? Or vandalism, but let's say theft. And if you came in and said, no, we're going to make stealing illegal. Well, you've reduced the freedom of the thieves, right? You've told them something they can't do. You've limited their freedom to steal. On the other hand, you've expanded the freedom from of the property owners. Or you might say their freedom to use their property as they see fit to retain their property. But either way, you have impacted freedom in both directions depending on whose perspective you look at. You work at a job during COVID, during an international pandemic, and your boss says you guys got to get vaccinated, you got to wear masks, okay? Then the state says, as Florida did, no, you can't do that anymore. Now, a little after the fact, but okay. Did the state restrict or expand freedom? Well, you say they expanded the freedom of the employees, right? Well, sure, that's true. They restricted the freedom of the employers. The employers wanted to impose a limit. They restricted that. The employees wanted to not have to obey that rule, so they expanded that freedom. Again, it depends on whose perspective you look at. You take a pornographic book out of a school library. Did you expand or restrict freedom? Well, if the child wants to read that book, you've limited their freedom. On the other hand, if you view that book as harm to a child, you have expanded the freedom from being harmed, from being, you know, molested at a distance by an author who's showing them information that they shouldn't have to see. So this term, you know, whose freedom are you affecting in which way? Limiting abortion rights. Okay, limiting access to abortion. Is that an expansion or a reduction in freedom? Well, it's clearly a reduction in freedom for the pregnant woman. Got me clearly. It is also, if you believe that the fetus is a person, it's an expansion of their freedom. In fact, it's an expansion of their life, which precedes freedom cognitively or philosophically, life, liberty, property in that order, right? So you're expanding the fetus's rights while limiting the pregnant mother's rights. So is it a reduction in freedom to restrict abortion? We say no, it's an expansion of freedom, just not for the pregnant woman. And that's the point. Most every law is going to simultaneously, it's going to shift where freedom lies. And so again, to come back to the case in point, we're talking about parental rights or books in school or transgender surgeries or whatever. The real question about that stuff, particularly when it comes to kids, is, are those things good for kids or are they bad for kids? And if you think that access to highly sexualized materials at, say, the third grade level, if you think that's good for kids, then you think that's a reduction in freedom. But if you think that's bad for kids, then it's an expansion of freedom because it's creating freedom from a harm. And if you think that elective mastectomies for 13-year-olds are good, then you think that this new law is a reduction in freedom. But if you think that elective mastectomies for 13-year-olds, regardless of their or their parents' desires, are bad for kids, then this is a freedom from expansion because you're protecting them from harm. So it's just, I know none of that is going to do really well on a debate stage. I know none of that is going to make a great headline, but the notion of whether, for example, Florida is a more or less free state following these various controversial laws this year and last year related to social issues, it's a question of which freedom and whether, especially when it comes to kids, whether you think those things are harmful or not to kids. Even in the like college setting, you know, the getting rid of the teaching of identity issues on race and gender, is that a reduction in freedom to teach? Sure. Is it an expansion in the right to get an education where you have an even balanced presentation of ideas? Well, kind of, yeah, too, also. So again, that's all I wanted to get at, is that there, it's not an easy thing to delineate whether freedom has been expanded or reduced, just to think about the various impacts. So this quick moniker that, you know, Florida is the free state of Florida that DeSantis has touted through COVID, and now he's being ridiculed for because of some of these other things. Well, we think those are also expansions of freedom, but we're looking at it from a different perspective than from the perspective of those whose freedoms are also limited. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the displaying of the Ten Commandments in our public schools was outlawed in large part because of a 1980 Supreme Court decision known as Stone versus Graham? And because of this extraction, most Americans are not familiar with the specific content of the Ten Commandments. I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 20. These commandments serve as a divine blueprint for a civilized society. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, God makes it very clear that these commandments came from Him and not from Moses or from any man. And the only man who ever walked the earth who kept the commandments flawlessly was Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man himself. As we endeavor to be submissive to these commandments, we must rely completely on Christ's power to overcome sin and temptation. I urge you, walk with Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
Free grill with every purchase at the factory showroom this Saturday only.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Razzle, dazzle!
One, two, three, four!
Where is the girl that I found?
Just a quick follow-up on that extended conversation we're having about freedom and what freedom is and whether laws that restrict it or expand it should be described as, you know, creating or reducing freedom. We tend, as humans, it's normal, freedom is a good thing, right? You tend to think of freedom as good. And so you tend to emphasize the impacts on freedom of freedoms that you care about, and you tend to de-emphasize impacts on freedom for freedoms that you don't care about or you don't think are genuine rights, right? So just always, it's... The basic problem of having created a word like freedom, it's a good word, don't worry, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying because it carries such weight, you know, you always try to bring it into your conversations and use it when it favors your side. And, you know, by, again, sometimes really emphasizing the ways in which something affects a freedom that you care about and ignoring a lot of times the effects on a freedom that you either disagree with or don't care as much about. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Bad accident on the Bayou Chico Bridge, Barrancas. It's right, it looks like at the hump of it, as I understand. Eastbound side, completely backed up eastbound, and emergency crews are on scene. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, somebody sent me the best note. They said, thank you for breaking down the arguments. Your experience as a philosophy instructor is appreciated. I do miss teaching.
Okay, it does help, though. I mean, truly.
I love teaching. I love teaching logic and reasoning and how these things work together. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Prince Harry set to testify in a UK court this week. That would make him the first senior British royal that's done that in 130 years.
The case is over a lawsuit he and dozens of other celebrities have brought against tabloid publisher Mirror Group newspapers for, among other things, hacking and unlawful activity to get information. The last senior royal to give testimony in court was Edward VII back in 1891 in a slander trial over a card game. I'm Michael Kastner.
Chuck Todd stepping down this fall as the moderator of NBC's Meet the Press. He made that announcement during Sunday's show. Todd's been the moderator since 2014. He'll become NBC's chief political analyst. And a Republican congressman that was involved in the debt ceiling negotiation says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's job is absolutely safe. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. Garrett Graves of Louisiana said McCarthy was one of the best strategists the party has had. And any calls to oust him from his role as speaker is not mainstream within the Republican caucus.
Well, I would agree with that. But, you know, absolutely safe is a bit strong. Since if you remember how he became speaker, it was many rounds of uncertainty. Many rounds of uncertainty. And why? Because the thin margin for the Republicans in the House means that there aren't too many votes they can afford to lose and still retain the speakership, which was the point of the Matt Gaetz holdout and everybody else during that long process. So, yeah, you know how sometimes people overstate a claim, and in so doing, they make you realize how vulnerable they really are? When you say something like, well, the speakership is absolutely... Okay, all right, I see what you're trying to hide. David, thanks so much for the update. 728 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, the Chuck Todd story is kind of interesting. Here's why. I didn't know that Chuck Todd... I mean, I knew that... He wasn't obviously the original, but this was created in 1947, okay? The first host, I guess, was Martha Roundtree. I didn't know that, the first host of Meet the Press. Of course, Tim Russert did it for a long time, and I guess David Gregory was? I forgot about that. What's interesting is Welker is going to be the first black moderator of Meet the Press and the first woman since Roundtree left in 1953, so... what I thought was more interesting about this is if you look at the five big shows on Sunday, that's, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox, that you now have a majority of female anchors for the five Sunday morning shows. Because you still have George Stephanopoulos on this week. You have Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation. She's been there for maybe a year now, something like that. Maybe 2 years. Anyway, I think Jake Tapper and Dana Bash still trade off on State of the Union, so that's a could be one, could be the other. Shannon Bream is now doing Fox News Sunday, right? And then Kristen Welker for Meet the Press. So that's a majority female anchors on the Sunday morning shows, which has never been the case. I mean, that has never been that. So that's just kind of an interesting development about who's hosting these shows. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? No, I'm not doing that story. I think this is probably a smaller story than it seems like, but we'll talk with this about DC when we have him on Wednesday. Adrian Stills, who's the Parks and Rec director, formerly was head of the Osceola Golf Course, he's been placed on administrative leave, and then he's going to be, I guess, leaving the city with some several weeks of severance pay. And Lawrence Powell, also neighborhoods director. Administrator is leaving. Remember, he came in with Grover after having run against Grover as mayor. So, you know, I think, look, you're the mayor. People serve at the pleasure of the mayor, you know, and D.C. has waited now at least 6 months before getting rid of people or changing directions. You got rid of, you know, Claude Pepler. This seems like probably not much of a story, but I'll talk with D.C. about it on Wednesday.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. A small plane that crashed in Virginia, killing all four people on board, had flown from Tennessee to New York, then turned around. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
F-16 jets were scrambled and authorized to travel at supersonic speeds to intercept a private aircraft that had begun to breach Washington, D.C.'s restricted airspace. The pilot of the Cessna Citation was unresponsive.
One of the fighter pilots saw the Cessna's pilot passed out. The Navy's released video of a Chinese warship cutting across the path of an American warship in the Taiwan Strait. China claims that Taiwan is its territory.
General Li Shangfu telling a defense forum in Singapore the U.S. needs to act with sincerity to stabilize relations. His American counterpart Lloyd Austin at the same summit warning the U.S. will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The destroyer slowed down to avoid a collision. America's listening to Fox News.
Good Monday morning. It's 7:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 75 degrees this morning. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Some neighbors now reacting to that fatal shooting on Crescent Drive on Saturday.
I am a lifelong resident of this neighborhood. I grew up here. I'm very shocked, as well as hurt. It's very disappointing that not only in this neighborhood, neighboring neighborhoods of the area is experiencing just crime that's totally unnecessary.
That's Akira Peaks, and she talked with Channel 3. She says she doesn't know what needs to be done, but something needs to be done about the violence. This comes after a shooting at a large party on Saturday. Between 50 and 100 people reportedly were at that home on Crescent Drive. Investigators say a gunman walked in, started shooting. The deceased victim was reportedly the target of the attack. Four others were hurt after being caught in the gunfire. The sheriff's office says those four victims are expected to survive. So far, a suspect has not been identified. An update on that fatal shooting of a 16-year-old in an area homeless camp last month. Escambia County Sheriff's Office says the person that shot and killed that teen won't be charged because they were acting in self-defense. Deputies say the teen and his accomplice, 16-year-old Jamal Spurlock Jr., were trying to buy methamphetamine at the homeless camp, but then pointed guns at a victim and threatened to steal their belongings. The victim called for help. Another man tried to intervene. The teens then allegedly pointed a gun at him. That led to an exchange of gunfire. The 16-year-old shot in the head and killed. Spurlock Jr., the other 16-year-old, now facing charges for aggravated assault, felony murder, and carrying a firearm. The two Florida Democrats that were arrested after a protest in Tallahassee will not be facing charges. Democrat Party Chair Nikki Fried and Senate Minority Leader Lauren Book were both arrested several months ago for trespassing. They were with the dozens of others who were protesting changes to the state's abortion law. State Attorney Jack Campbell says he doesn't want to extend their notoriety by following through with the prosecution. Well, an area businessman, a Florida businessman, that is, from Brevard County, says his family was on that plane that crashed in Washington, D.C. last night.
The plane sparked panic yesterday after it violated restricted airspace and forced the military to scramble F-16s at supersonic speeds. That caused a sonic boom that led to phone calls to the police and to news outlets. The civilian plane crashed in the Virginia wilderness after repeated attempts by NORAD to establish contact. John Rumpel says his daughter, 2-year-old granddaughter, her nanny, and the pilot were aboard the plane. He believes that the plane lost pressurization and all aboard passed out prior to the crash. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Big turnout over the weekend for a kickball tournament where the proceeds all went towards helping our area homeless population. It was the Steals and Slides tournament held at the Brent Athletic Complex that benefited the Honor Her Foundation.
It means a world of difference that Miss Horn would come out and support us. We do have a need. There's a huge homeless population here, and we thank her for coming out because it's needed. It's needed.
Honor Her board members talked with Channel 3. That organization helps to feed the local homeless population, also houses 11 different homeless female veterans. It is 7:35, News Radio 92.3, and Candy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Still watching that bad accident on the Bayou Chico Bridge. Now, it's at the hump, as I understand, and it is backed up the whole way eastbound, so certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are, and certainly if you see another accident, let us know. But yeah, accident on Barrancas, eastbound side of the Bayou Chico Bridge completely backed up. Watch for emergency crews on scene. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
A beautiful, warm, and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 85 degrees. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Tuesday, 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It's 75 in Pensacola, 75 also in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Many central banks around the world, including the Federal Reserve, are trying to tame inflation by raising interest rates and tightening monetary policy. But the head of the International Monetary Fund says she hasn't seen enough banks tightening their lending standards. That could mean the Fed may have to keep interest rates higher for longer, and possibly enact additional rate hikes. The Fed meets again next week. KKR is one of the largest investment companies in the world, with roughly 700 private equity investments in its portfolio, totaling $700 billion. Now this morning, KKR has announced another move. It's reached a deal to buy industrial machinery maker Cercor for $1.6 billion. That deal expected to close in the fourth quarter of this year. Cercor stock is obviously responding, skyrocketing 50%. On Wall Street, futures are mixed. Last week's rally pushed the S&P to its highest level since August. That's Your Money Now.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill?
Join Compass Solar Energy this Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we navigate through the rising costs of energy. Friday at 9 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Oh, man. Joining us now, we have our favorite farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, by whose house I rode yesterday on my bicycle with my wife. And as we're riding up in Jay yesterday and having a good old time. And let's start with this regional Murrow Award winning farmer, Ryan Jenkins. Congratulations on we got a Murrow for this segment for last year that Candy wrote up, and we might win it nationally, but we definitely won it locally, and it would not have been possible without you. So congratulations, sir, and thank you for making that happen.
Well, thank you. All I did was answer your question, so I think you're the award winner.
I tell you, I get more comments on your segment. People love it, and they're so glad that you're around, and they appreciate all the information. So I absolutely appreciate it, too. What a great blessing to have met you through Leadership Santa Rosa. I drove past yesterday. I sent you a really stupid, corny picture of me in front of the corn. I apologize for that. How is the corn doing? It seems to be full grown, but is it coming in healthy?
It is. We've had a pretty good growing season up in basically up until now, you know, the yield potential is very high. Like you say, the plants look healthy and all, but now we're to the critical phase. When you see them like they were yesterday, when you see the tassels coming out of the top, which is the male part of the plant that pollinates the rest of it, from there on out for the next probably month, it needs the most water that it needs in its life cycle. So this will really determine what our yield's going to be like. If we don't soon get some rain and a good amount of it, you know, our yields aren't going to be as high as what they could have been. So we're hoping for rain for our crops, especially the corn right now as it's in its critical phase. But yeah, all in all, it definitely looks pretty when you drive by, doesn't it?
But it needs the rain to be full. Okay, so that makes sense. I do, weird question. It seemed to me like over the last month that when I go to the grocery store, I see abundant corn at cheaper prices than it's been for a long time. And I'm trying to reconcile, why is it sweet corn season at the grocery store in May when your corn is clearly not yet full grown and harvested yet in the field?
Well, it's two different types of corn. This is field corn, and yours that you're seeing that everybody likes to eat and loves to eat out of the grocery store is sweet corn. And that's planted a little bit earlier and has a little bit shorter growing cycle than the corn that we grow basically for feed.
Okay. And then we have another round of the sweet corn that comes later in the year, too. Am I right about that? Because I think of like the corn festivals in Illinois were always like September or something.
Well, a lot of the sweet corn guys in the area, they'll plant several different crops of it to try to keep it coming in all throughout the summer while people are enjoying eating it.
Oh.
Instead of it just like my crop's just going to come off at one time. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, because they're trying to satisfy a sort of a temporary market and want the corn to be fresh. You're trying to satisfy like the feed and grain sort of version of the corn. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's why you're award winning.
we are award winning. Hey, I also wanted to ask you. I see the rows. It's kind of funny because you told me about the double row planting for the peanuts, and everywhere I go, I see these little double rows. I'm like, I know what. My wife, she's like, I know what those are now because I recognize them going in. How is the wheat? How did the wheat do this year? Which you don't grow a lot of, but you still grow some.
The wheat was terrible. We like it. You know, it'll hit every once in a while, and it's, you know, that's called double cropping. So we have a crop that grows during the winter, and we harvest it in the spring. Then we plant our so-called money crop, our cotton or soybeans or whatever behind it, and we try to get two crops off of one year. But this year, I can't remember, was it in April when we were talking, and we had kind of a weird cold snap there.
Yeah.
And we had a little freeze. That really, I think, set us back on our wheat. You know, usually usually our yields are around 60 bushels to the acre. And this year we're in that 35 to 45 bushels per acre.
Wow.
And the quality is really bad. So, multiple things talk about. This time last year, wheat prices were $11 a bushel. This year, they're $6 a bushel. And by the time we finished getting everything docked, the prices docked that we're getting paid for the quality being poor, we're not making but $3 and something a bushel.
Oh, my God. So it's a quarter of last year's price, and you're only harvesting about 60% of what you harvested last year. You're losing money on wheat, I assume.
Losing money, yes. It's so much fun when stuff like that happens. It just it makes your days go by so fast. But yeah, we're not making much money on our wheat this year. We finished well. I like one pass. It rained out of nowhere Saturday. We were finishing up our last field of wheat for the year, and I like one pass being done. But we're about to be done with that and clean the combine up and put it up until it's time to shell corn in the end of July.
And so, but I mean, you still have to harvest it because even though it's not going to make you money, you're going to avoid losing even more by, I mean, getting what you can get, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I want it off the field so I can plant the next crop.
get out of my sight so I can plant something that's going to work this year.
That's right. I get it.
Hey, hang on for me for just a second, Ryan. Hang on. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Okay. Watching that one accident on Barrancas. Now, it looks like the bridge is cleared. Still watch for emergency vehicles on scene. That's the eastbound side of the Bayou Chico Bridge. A little slow. I'm guessing somebody there is directing traffic, but not backed up anymore. If you have traffic tips, text them in, though, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins, our award-winning, Regional Murrow Award-winning Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms. The governor recently signed HB 1279. This is a law that I think does kind of in our state what has been done in some other states. When you buy agricultural materials that are tax exempt, you have to like file papers every time. And this will allow you to have basically a card that sort of streamlines the paperwork process. Is that basically right? Is that going to help you guys very much?
It'll help. It'll make life easier. Now, if you have something that's tax exempt, you have to fill out paperwork, like you say, and give it to each individual company that you do business with for that product. And now it'll be easier just to be able to flash basically a credit card looking thing at them, and they say, all right, you're good to go. That type of, you know, it's just going to streamline the process and make life a little faster and a little easier for us.
Outstanding. Is cotton in yet? Pardon me for forgetting where we are in the season yet. Is cotton in yet?
It is. We're basically through finished planting everything.
Okay.
Last week, we're like one field of cotton today that I had to cut the weed off of on Saturday. And so hopefully, you know, by right after lunch today, we'll be finished planting cotton for the first time. Then we'll have to go around and replant the places that didn't come up the first time. And I know we've got, I don't know, probably 100 acres worth of that to do, I imagine.
And you've got, so what you're wanting is you're wanting water for the corn and water, I assume, for the early phases of the cotton. And then later on, you want heat for the cotton. Is that right?
That's right. If we could get in a pattern where basically we got an inch of rain every week and that was about all we got, you know, got it on one day and then let it go until the next week, that would be, in my eyes, that would be a perfect scenario. But you know what? I'm thankful to God every time we get what we get. So it's he takes care of us, and we end up doing better than we deserve almost every time. So I'm appreciative for that.
All right, you're going to laugh at me, but I got to tell you this story because it relates to you. My wife and I are biking yesterday, and we're biking across all these fields, right, that have got all these crops in and, you know, just been planted and barely growing. And first of all, we see fire hydrants next to all these fields, and I'm baffled by this because they don't seem to be by houses, and I don't understand. And then I see these kind of weird-looking, I don't know, to me they look like spigots and faucets and things like that in the middle of a lot of these fields. And my wife's like, what's that for? And I said, they don't do irrigation here. Ryan has said many times we don't bother irrigating because it rains enough. And then a little later on, we see these little pipes sticking up, and they say, warning, petroleum line here. And it finally, when I drove past a place that actually had a flame going and some tanks holding some oil, I realized, oh, my God, these are oil fields and oil wells. And that's, I assume, why the fire hydrants are there, because Jay at least used to be a massive oil drilling area. Is that right?
That's correct. Back in the 70s, oil was discovered in the area here. And at the time, it turned out to be one of the biggest oil finds in the country. For many years, Jay was, well, they call it the oil capital of Florida, but it was booming as far as the oil business goes. Had several refineries around, and you know, it was really pumping a lot of oil, brought a lot of money into the area, brought a lot of people into the area, and you know, it made a lot of people basically millionaires overnight, you know, once the oil was found. So it changed the landscape here a little bit. Now it's kind of I don't know. I'm not the oil man, but it's getting toward the end of its cycle, I would say. You know, they're still pumping oil. I know two or three years ago they hit three more oil wells here in the area, and that's probably the ones that you saw yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was a real big thing, and it's been good for a lot of people.
I just think it was interesting to see how that has gotten integrated with the farming because, you know, taking the oil out from down beneath and the farming up on top, you know, like that's the multiple uses of the land and the underneath the land, the mineral rights or whatever.
Absolutely.
Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about, we always like to end with kind of a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week, Ryan?
Well, since I think people would be interested to know, since we've kind of finishing up planting season here, you know, we don't plant the same number of plants for each crop that we plant. You know, everything does better at a specified number. So I thought people might be interested to know the rates at which we plant stuff at.
Yeah.
So for cotton, we plant about 24,000 seed per acre. For peanuts, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. And for soybeans, we plant about 160,000 seed per acre. So we're trying to get about that many plants per acre. And we've learned over the years for our soil type and our environment that's where kind of the sweet spot is for that population to be planted in your field. So I thought people might be interested to know kind of how many plants might they find in an acre of land here in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, interesting, because as everything else, it's all driven by science and results and harvest yields and, you know, then, you know, basically programming the planter to put the right stuff in the ground so that you get the best out of it in the end. And hopefully it doesn't turn out like we did this year. Ryan Jenkins, he's our farmer up in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms, and I will say the co-recipient of a Regional Murrow Award. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this for all this time. Thanks for helping me understand so much, and thanks for being so informative for our listeners, man. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having us. I hope everybody has a great week.
Yeah, absolutely. 751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars. The kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends that you, the same thing I do, which is, you know, buy it now and drive it for a decade. Or decade and a half. I mean, you know, that's kind of how we do cars. And then you go back to them and buy another one. Like, my goal is to see Frontier, like, we bought our Honda Odyssey, God, what now, 4 years ago, maybe something like that? And then to not see them again until I need to replace my Civic, you know? And then not see them again at all, you know, for quite some time. But that's the kind of place they are. Great selection, 300 different cars and trucks and vans and SUVs and sedans on the lot at any given moment. And sports cars. I just drove by there the other day, and they've got a big old stock full of things you can look at. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You're one ugly mother...
In case you didn't know, like, I'm showing Candy one of my videos from yesterday of up in Jay. I don't remember exactly where this was, but we biked right past it, and there's, like, four big old tanks for storing the oil that they're drilling out of the ground, and they've got, you know how, I associate it more with refineries, but they've got a natural gas burn-off stack, mm-hmm. you know? So, and it looks from this shot like it's right next to those tankers. It's not as separate, about like 200 or 300 feet. But it's just burning constantly there.
And I guess I didn't know.
Jay,
yeah,
you know,
we had oil in this area until about 10 minutes ago when you were having that conversation with Ryan Jenkins. I was like, really?
I love learning stuff about our area and just what's true about it. So, yeah. 755, Candy's got traffic for you.
There accident this morning at Bayou Chico on Barrancas, over the Bayou Chico Bridge, actually. Now, it was backed up eastbound. It doesn't look backed up anymore, so emergency crews still may be on scene. It's the only thing we're seeing right now. It's the only slowdown. Starting July 1st, ECUA customers need to schedule a bulk waste pickup by calling customer service. You've been able to do it on trash day so far, but starting July 1st, you have to schedule them. Find out more at ecua.fl.gov 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, and remember we were talking about that with ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody. He said it's just more efficient
right.
to go to specific calls for pickup than to have a fourth truck basically drive the whole... You know.
Not for me. Like, I haven't decided that I want to unhoard yet, Bruce.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Dave, by the way, good to have you back,
that's
Candy.
That's true. Yeah, right. We appreciate you, Bruce Woody.
Go ahead, Dave.
The body of one of the three men missing after the recent apartment building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, has now been found. 42-year-old Brandon Colvin's remains were located in that building. Recovery efforts continuing there as two people are still unaccounted for. After revelations about Prince Harry's drug use, a U.S. court now is going to hear challenges over his visa. His U.S. immigration records are about to be unsealed. The Heritage Foundation is suing the government to find out if it lawfully granted the visa. American immigration laws dictate that evidence of past drug use is grounds for rejecting the application. And the list of most loved companies in the U.S. has come out. Patagonia tops the list. The clothing company took the top spot. The poll was done by Axios and Harris. So the rest of the top five were Costco, John Deere, Trader Joe's, and then Chick-fil-A.
All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I, by the way, haven't talked about this yet today, but I have some contraband audio.
I don't even know what it's for, but play it.
No, this is going to be good. This is contraband audio of the sort that is probably going to be illegal to play soon. Okay, this is from, I was watching Predator over the weekend. The year one ugly. This, oh, nicely
right, yeah.
done.
All
right.
Yeah.
Over here. Okay, so here. Here, this is. Prepare yourself. This is contraband audio.
I knew this man. Green Berets out of Fort Bragg. Now, what the hell were they doing here?
It's not Fort Bragg anymore. Can't say Fort Bragg. So are they going to censor that in future versions of the movie online? You know,
what is the name of the new fort?
Fort Liberty.
I'm just trying to.
Nope, that's it.
They're all coming out of Fort
it's,
Liberty.
There are nine Army bases that are being renamed. This is now the fifth one that's been renamed, so we're more than halfway through. 82nd Airborne hosts there. Also, the Delta Force, you know, Special Forces, Delta Force is there. You might know an awful lot about the Navy SEALs. You don't know a lot about Delta Force except what Chuck Norris taught you. So they renamed it as Fort Liberty on Friday. It's the only one not named for, like, a person. And by the way, a lot of these names for the former people, like, Bragg was a terrible, like, I don't, not just because he's Confederate, but, like, he's a failure. I don't know how he got a fort named after him, but, and several others were like this, where they're just, they're getting rid of them because they're Confederate names, but they should be getting rid of the ones that are just like, we don't want to honor these people anymore. Like, we have so many great people that could be honored. Like Master Sergeant Roy Benavidez was one of the ones considered for Bragg. Green Beret, who earned the Medal of Honor for actions in Vietnam, carried multiple dead and wounded teammates to a helicopter safely under intense fire from himself. Alvin York, a sergeant from World War I, who took a machine gun nest, killing 25 enemy and taking 132 prisoners. What? Yeah, Fort York. That makes sense to me. Okay, here's the funny thing. You know why it got to be Fort Liberty? Because the guy that they had proposed was both a member of Delta Force and also, or sorry, not Delta, but Green Berets, and also a member of the Airborne. And the Special Ops guys didn't want an Airborne guy, and the Airborne guys didn't want a Special Ops guy, so they couldn't accept that name, so they went with Fort Liberty. Dudes. My people, come on now.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.